Let's see. Just waiting here for a couple people to log in. I got Moody with me tonight, everybody. I got me a cool selfie stick, but I don't know how to use it yet. It's you have to download an app and all this other stuff. So I see Tiffany. Hello, Tiffany. So I'm going to talk a little bit until some other people start showing up. Looks like we got one person that's popped up. And I'm going to turn this the other way because it's more, well, I was. You can't turn your phone while recording, it says. So let me turn it back. So give a holler when you log in there. Let's see. I know Tiffany is watching. Who else we got? Who else do we got on here so far? I think that's it. Sometimes it'll tell you, Buddy Grayson, illustrious sir. So we got three people so far. Four people. All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope everybody is having a spooktacular Friday night. Decided to do something a little different tonight. I keep the comments going. And if you got any questions, please make sure to ask them, and Moody will read them out to me, and I'll try to answer the best I can. So, wanted to update a couple of the stories I've told, let you guys know that we are going to be doing some live video, and we're also going to be doing some regular video, which we'll put together, and then we'll do a sit-down, more of a podcast, where it's listen-only. But we will record it and then upload it later. Be sure you check us out on everything right now. Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Yahoo, all the iPod stations on Apple, everywhere. And I think we're going to be on iHeartRadio soon. So we've got a lot of good stories. We've got a lot of good stuff to talk about. So let's talk about a couple things first about past stories. One was the Scottish Rite building. So I was lucky enough to do some video inside the Scottish Rite, and we're putting some stuff together. We've also got some interviews with some people that have worked there that have stories. So it's going to be real interesting. So stay tuned. In the next couple weeks, we hope to bring you the first ever podcast show. Kind of like Ghost Adventures or something like that, except for we're not like ghost hunting per se. It's going to be a little bit of everything, some history and all that good stuff. So tonight, what I want to talk about first is, have you ever played with a Ouija board? That's a taboo subject that a lot of people say, oh, no, not in my house. Oh, no Ouija board, no this, no that. Don't worry, I do not have a Ouija board tonight for us to play with. But I was curious, have you ever played with a Ouija board? If you have, you know, what happened? So before we get into that, remember, tonight by midnight, if you can accept the challenge, the Bloody Mary challenge is what we called it when we were kids, our Bloody Bones. Again, that's when you go into the bathroom. You can have the lights on or off. It doesn't matter. I would prefer the lights off with the video. Look into the mirror, say Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary three times, wait 10 seconds, and then end the video. But you have to do it alone. If you've got somebody in there with you, it's not as scary, and it's not, it kind of defeats the whole challenge. Kind of like when you go into a spooky place and you've got somebody with you or multiple people, it's just not that scary. That's like when people go through our haunted house at the shrine, they go, ah, it wasn't so scary. Really? You want to go through by yourself? No, that's okay. Yeah, that's what we thought. So the challenge is for you to go into your bathroom, stand in the mirror, shut the door. Please wear clothes. No birthday suits. Oh, there goes one of my spooktacular cats. That was a little kitty. So, and then turn the light off. If your camera or phone camera is able to do night vision, that's cool. And do the whole Bloody Bones, Bloody Mary, Candyman, you know, whatever it is. Wait 10 seconds after. And then upload your video so that we can all see that, you did it. I'm also curious to see if anything happens after that. Anything weird happens in the house. You had a weird dream the next day. And sometime tomorrow, out of everybody that has uploaded a video, because we have received zero videos right now, so you're probably into winning to win a $10 gift certificate to the restaurant of your choice. Okay, so let's move forward for tonight's. So tonight's question is, have you ever played with a Ouija board? I saw where illustrious Sir Buddy Grayson said yes, and he hated it. Well, what was so bad about it? Where did you play with one at? Did you play with one, you know, at the cemetery, like, as a big no-no? Did you play with one at the house? You know, what'd you do? So here's the thing. Sean Cochran, you talking about... no clothes? No, I don't really want to see you without no clothes on, brother. But so this is going to be a short one tonight. But I've got a couple tales that are going to be coming up. One is called The Headless Horseman of White Bluff Road. Now, when we were kids, back in the 70s and 80s, we lived in Windsor, and then we moved to Georgetown. But my grandparents, my grandma and grandpa Welch, they lived down Rendon Avenue. And my grandpa liked his old Milwaukee and stuff. And we always hung out. There was nothing to do in the summertime. You know, you ran around crazy. You had a little campfire. You might have roasted some marshmallows, you know. When we all got together, it was a big deal, and it was a lot of fun, especially when my Uncle Rick came from Iceland. They would all come from Iceland, and then he got transferred to Homestead, Florida. So it was always a big deal when we all got together. But my grandpa would always tell us these stories about the Headless Horseman. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. I always thought Grandpa had too many old Milwaukee tall boys. So we just thought that... he was just trying to scare us and stuff and whatnot. But over the years, I heard from several people that it's an actual true story. How the story actually goes, I'm not 100% sure. I did run into an old cousin that I've met for the first time named Fran. She's agreed to tell me the story of the Headless Horseman on White Bluff. Now, if you know White Bluff and Rendon Avenue, that's closer towards Coffee Bluff. Coffee Bluff was the part that was later in Savannah. It's not that old, really. I mean, yeah, you know, 60 years old. That's not that old, really, when you think about it. So we'll talk about that. And then she also talks about every time a dark figure showed up, someone would die in the family. So those stories are coming to you tomorrow. Tonight, though, let's see. Sir Buddy Grayson says, you played with a Ouija board at a friend's house and knew stuff no one else knew about. See, that's one of the things, because anytime you're ever playing with a Ouija board, you got to be careful. You know, you're opening a door to demons, spirits. You know, mostly all of them are bad. And if you watched anything on TV, you know what I'm talking about. It's not a good idea to play with one. I do like messing with my wife and my mom and my sister about it, always saying, hey, I brought a Ouija board along or something. It's just always funny, you know, and I get a kick out of freaking them out. But I know when we were a kid, we played with a Ouija board. And my mom's going to kill me. We played with it in the clubhouse at Crown Villa, and I found it actually on the side of the dumpster. So I guess somebody was trying to get rid of it. Well, me being a teenager, I thought, hey, we're going to have some fun. So we used to have these little parties where we would we'd take the VCR and hook up a TV and we'd watch scary movies or something down at the clubhouse. It was something to do, you know, especially back then. There was nothing to do. We watched a scary movie one time and somebody was talking about ghosts. And then somebody said, hey, Pat, what about the Ouija board that you found? I said, yeah, you know, let's have some fun with it. So we pulled it out, and of course, you always got somebody trying to move it or play with it. I don't know. I don't know what really happened. Nothing really happened, but I will tell you this. I was told to get rid of it. So the next day, me and my buddies went to burn it because we like to burn stuff. But whenever we was burning it, it wouldn't burn at first. It took about 10 minutes for it to finally kind of start to ignite. And when it did, in the middle, a blue flame shot out. Didn't shoot out, but a blue flame was burning. Just maybe it was because of the type of dye that was in the board or something like that. I don't know. But I do know the board would not burn. It turned black. It got real crispy and stuff. But it wouldn't burn. And I know my buddy said he would take it. I don't know whatever happened with it. So that's my Ouija board story. That's the only thing I got. But let's see what Buddy here says. Buddy says that he watched a possession today because it was about a Dybbuk box. And I talked about last week, and it freaked him out. Never even heard about it until last podcast last week. Well, I appreciate it. So the Dybbuk box, again, for those that y'all haven't seen it, please watch the video on it. We'll be talking more about it. We'll do a video of where this supposedly happened, not only at Crown Villa, but also in the haunted house. We don't know what happened to that Dybbuk box. It's crazy. Nothing really happened to me other than my truck jumping out of park and taking off. But as of anything happening as far as bad dreams and things, no, nothing. Now, I will tell you something else about the haunted house somebody brought up the other day. So we got a couch from somebody that, you know, we come up with a lot of our ideas when we're just kind of sitting around having a few drinks and just having some fun, you know, coming up with ideas for the haunt. What do we want to do? You know, it's our little break area, you know, and when we're done working for the day or something, then we might have a beer or a you know, glass of wine, or either like me, I'll have a margarita or two, and we'll sit there and just kind of laugh and have some fun. Well, we have always gotten along. I've never seen one argument, you know. I mean, yeah, some people might get, you know, a little aggravated, but nothing out of the ordinary. Well, this one time, we decided that we wanted a couch or a sofa or something so that we could have more room, because everybody's sitting on hard chairs and stuff, and you just kind of wanted to stretch out. So long story short is we got one. We got it delivered, and I will tell you this, everybody that sat on that couch in the haunted house, something crazy happened. Their whole demeanor changed. They got a little crazy. Maybe it was the Dybbuk box. Who knows? We think it was that couch. People that I've never seen get upset, got upset. They turned mean, if that's the right word. You know, like, didn't get possessed. Snappy, short-tempered all day long. So we all kind of left, you know, and everybody was kind of uneasy and stuff. Well, the next day when we come back, somebody said, "I think it's the couch," and this is true. So I was like, you know what? I think you're right, because I sat on that couch and I was ready to go home. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I mean, it was just so much crap, that we actually burned some sage in there. And, but then because of the Dybbuk box, this is a little secret. Next time you're in a haunted house, we've got sage. Of course, it's not burned or anything, but we've got sage on the corners of the haunted house inside, just for that purpose. Not only for the Dybbuk box, but also because of the couch. No BS. Hey, Brother Chandler, how's it going there? Long time no see. And looks like some people are saying no Ouija boards in my house. Lady Laura and everybody, I guess they don't want to, they don't want to mess with no Ouija board. Hope everybody's having a good Friday night. Hope everybody's having a spooktacular night. I'm kind of saving my good story for tomorrow night. Hey, Brother Brian, how's it going? Brother Jared, hey, Jared, what's up, buddy? Remember, do the Bloody Bones Challenge if you're not scared. Because, again, I haven't had one entry. And I did that video around 1 o'clock today, I think, 1:30. And I haven't had not one entry. So everybody must be too scared. Sean just did it. So I'll check it out. Remember, you got till midnight to post that. And I'll throw everybody's name in a hat. And I'll pull it out, and whichever one I pull out that submitted a video, you get a $10 gift certificate to your restaurant of choice, whether it be Olive Garden or wherever, you know, Crystal's. It's Moody's favorite, Waffle House. So, again, there's some stories that's going to be coming your way. We're going to be doing some videos, again, at the Scottish Rite. Here's a couple challenges I want to do. And I've noticed on a couple other people's pages that are now doing, like, or they've been doing ghost investigations and things like that, kind of taking a few of my ideas and stuff, which is fine because, remember, you know, when they take one of your ideas, that's the best form of flattery. So I love it. But there's some places I want to go outside of Savannah. Brooklet. I want to go to Brooklet. I want to go to Ghost Road. Those of y'all that don't know about Ghost Road in Brooklet, it's near Statesboro. Supposedly, you go down this dirt road at night, and when you get there, you'll see a lantern coming at you, a man or something. Google it. Check it out. It's called The Legend of Ghost Road in Brooklet, Georgia. So it's not too far from here. Another place I'd love to go is to check out the Lizard Man Museum. You heard me talk about the Lizard Man here in Savannah. There's one in Bishopville, South Carolina. Google that. I'd like to go out there and go to the museum and ask some questions up there because it's pretty interesting stuff. Some good news is we did purchase us a night vision camera, so that's a good thing. We'll be doing some night vision things, some videos in some of the places that we've been talking about. If there's a place that you'd like for us to go to or talk about, if you know about, let us know. Chandler said the Myrtle's Plantation. I believe that's in Louisiana. That's just a little bit too far, brother. I'd love to go there and get a real po' boy sandwich, but Myrtle's Plantation just a little too far. Let's see, Mark Waters Jr., I guess you're talking about the Ghost Road at Brooklet. So when you Google it, the ad, and I know I scratch my head and stuff a lot, rub my head a lot, but that's because I'm thinking. If you Google The Legend of Ghost Road in Brooklet, Georgia, there's an article that comes up, and it says, stay away from Ghost Road. So check it out. We're going to be going there. I don't know if we'll be doing some live stuff, but we will be doing some other things. Let's see, Lands End Light in Beaufort. I'm not sure what that is, brother, if you can help me out with that. You know, inbox me where this is and supposedly what's going on there, and we'll check it out. You're more than welcome to maybe go with us. Let's see, Brother Chandler says we can make it happen. I guess you're talking about Louisiana. Yeah, we can always go there. But let's see. Timothy Rawl, you've got some spots, huh? So let me know. This is, again, I need your help because I want to bring stories that you want to hear. Not just because of me, because eventually I'm going to run out of stories. But there are a lot of spots that I would like to hit. Buddy Grayson says, Bonaventure Gracie. I did a little video there with Gracie the other day, and I told my story. So basically, for those of y'all that didn't hear it and haven't seen the video yet, what's happening there, Carolyn and Brother Matt Fisher? So basically, my story is I worked at the building downtown, which is the Regions Bank building. I worked down in the basement. This was recently up until about 2 or 3 months ago. That building used to be the old S&S Morrison cafeteria. It's right by City Hall. That's why if you ever saw me walking across the street and I would do a selfie in front of City Hall, that's why I always did it because it was on the way to work when I was crossing the street to go to work. So Always snapped a selfie right there. That's why you saw, I think, my profile picture, except for one, me and my mom right now, is me standing in front of City Hall. So long story short is it used to be S&S Cafeteria before it was Regions Bank Building, which we shared it with. Before that, it was the old, it was an old hotel that the guy ran and everything. And she died. She died of pneumonia down in the basement when she was like 6 years old, I think. She died a couple of days before Easter. Now, my story is down in the basement. So when we used to go there and eat, when I worked for Freeman's, we would go and eat at S&S Morrison's. The bathrooms were downstairs. And when you went downstairs, it would be freezing. Yeah, Timmy, you're right. It's the Pulaski House. You are 100% right. You go downstairs and it would be freezing cold in some areas. I'm talking cold, Jack. And this would be the middle of summer. It was burning up because it was full of people. And you know, you'd come back, the waitresses, you know, would tell you stories and stuff or whatever, you know, about it being haunted and things. I used to date a girl whose dad was the manager there when I was a teenager. He would tell us things, weird things that would happen. And so it was always kind of cool to hear. Never in a million years did I think I'd ever be working in that building. So I'm working in that building. Again, she died a couple of days before Easter. I'm down in the building. I used to do a lot of fun things with all the employees in the basement. There's about 30 of us down there. So for Easter, I went and bought a bunch of plastic eggs, filled them up with, I put a number inside each one of them on a handwritten piece of paper, and I labeled it which number was what prize they got. And I had chocolate bunnies. Everything was chocolate. It was like chocolate bunnies, chocolate eggs, all those things. Excuse me. So long story short is, I think I had about 20 of them. I knew where every one of them was. I labeled where every one of them was. I got there early. I got there about 7 o'clock that morning and put them all out. And I sent an email out to everybody, a mass email to everybody down, and said, if you find an egg, bring it to me and win a prize. Every egg was brought to me except for one. We looked everywhere. Hey, Carolyn, glad you can join us. Brother Mark Daniels is there. Brother Mark Daniels worked with me down. He can verify this story about the Easter egg down in the basement. He worked in the basement with me. So all the eggs were found except for one egg. We looked everywhere. I had the map of every spot I hid an egg. All the bunnies were taken except for one. This went on for several days. I asked the cleaning crew, if you see this egg, thank God it's not hard-boiled, because it would have probably been stinking and we would have found it. But if you see a plastic egg, let me know. A week went by, nothing. So finally, after about a week or so of looking, I gave up. And I just kind of, I used to work really late down there. I'd be the only one down there. I'd work till like 8 o'clock. Everybody went home at 5 o'clock. There's Patrick still working late because I was a hard worker. I was a dedicated worker. So I said out loud when I stepped out of my office. My office was all the way in the back where the restrooms were. These are the same restrooms pretty much that when S&S Morrison's was going on. And it was really cold. Where my office was right next to the break room. But they said between my office and the break room was kind of her little play area. Kind of like her little, play area. I don't have another word. So I came outside and outside of the office there, and I said, hey, Gracie, if this is you and you've got the egg, here's your bunny. And I left it out on the corner of my table. And it never got touched. It never got ate, you know, so don't think I'm going to tell you that some ghost ate the bunny. It's not what happened. But I left it out and never found the egg. That chocolate bunny stayed out up until I left them in late February. And I left it there because I didn't want to bring it with me just in case something happened. So it stayed there almost a year later. True story. Now, I will tell you that a lot of people had stories down there about little Gracie. You know, things being misplaced or moved and stuff. And we used to screw with people a lot down there, especially me. You know, they would have little Pops figures on their desk. I'd move them around and stuff, you know, and mess with them. But other times, I know I didn't do it and other people did it, but there would be things moved around or you would hear some laughing. One time, my office was way in the back. You could either take the stairs on the way up there, and my fat ass didn't want to climb up stairs to go out. So I always went out the front so I could take the elevator to get out because we were in the basement. So to me, I dreaded that walk when I was the only one there late at night between 7 and 8 o'clock because I always felt like somebody was watching me in the basement. I always felt like something was going to, you know, run up on me or scare me. I did hear giggling every now and then and stuff like that. And a lot of people heard giggling late at night. You did hear little things move. No door slams or nothing like that. No lights flickering and acting crazy, nothing like that. But on some spots that you would walk in, it was freezing cold. And it was crazy down there because there was a lot of ladies down there, and they always got cold, so we had to pretty much keep the ACs turned off or jacked up. Kenny Gentry, what's happening, brother? Glad you're there. David Garul, glad you're there. So that's a story that I have on Gracie down there. Now, they say if you go to Bonaventure, there's all kind of little stories there. You know, you can look those up. I plan on going to Bonaventure maybe one day this weekend, and I'll do another story about Gentry when I'm there. I mean, Gentry, because he's online. Gracie, while I'm there. You know, between the Dibby Box story, the Gracie story, all the Georgetown stories, I mean, there's a bunch of them. One of the stories, again, is the graveyard way down Grove Point Road. Now, when you went all the way down towards the end there, if you go to where the cows were and everything to the left, there would be like this roundabout. And they said Great Dane owned that property back there. And used to be a lot of slave quarters and stuff back there in the back. Well, here comes my shadow cat. I lost my train of thought. So when we were teenagers and after a good rain, you know, we'd sneak and climb those fences and we'd go over there and we'd go shrooming. You know, we'd go take the shrooms and stuff, and that's a god-awful stuff you ever drink in your life. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if you mix it with Kool-Aid or whatnot. So my point is this. I will tell you that the plantation that Great Dane owned over there, you always heard a lot of strange sounds and things. And there was nobody ever over there. The only time we ever seen people over there, like when they were going to have like a big party or a festival or something like that, but like a Christmas get-togethers and stuff like that, but never, ever, because we used to hang out in that little roundabout thing right there and drink and stuff when we were teenagers because the cops never came back there. There was never, you know, anybody to screw with you back there. But that's right around the same area where that graveyard is and still is to this day. They didn't move those graves. I don't care what they say. They might have moved the tombstones, but they didn't move all those graves. A lot of those graves were indentured servants. If they weren't indentured servants, a good bit of them were probably slaves or something. I don't mess with that kind of stuff. I don't mess with Indian burial grounds, which I think and I've heard that Georgetown was full of Indian burial grounds. I will tell you that the hill that we used to play on and stuff all the time, we used to find Indian heads and stuff out there sometimes, the little arrowheads and things like that. We used to find stuff. When you went all the way down Georgetown, it would stop at King's Grant. You had to take a right to go into King's Grant. You couldn't go any further, like where the school and everything is, because it was just woods. Everything there was woods. You couldn't go any further. There's like this humongous ditch, like canal thing. So that's as far as you could go. But one of the coolest things, though, when you went back there in the back, once they built everything, and Moody can tell you, is there was these gay guys that they put on the best haunted house, man. It was right across from the school, and they had real live. They had real caskets from funeral homes in their house. And it was an awesome haunted house. And you would go by a few of these caskets and nothing had happened. But when you got to one or the other, and I went through this thing twice just because I love haunted houses, there was always somebody popping out of one in different areas. It was awesome, man. I mean, I don't know where they got those caskets from. They said they got them from some funeral home, but they had to return them. But it was awesome. I always remember that right across from there. Now, here's a story I want to talk about. So in Savannah, I don't know if y'all have ever heard about Danny's Bed. So Danny's Bed, again, Google this stuff. I'm not 100% sure on a lot of the stuff. I will tell you what I know, what I saw, who I talked to and stuff. So Danny's Bed was a bed that Al Cobb bought. Al Cobb used to run an antique store. He might still run an antique store. Hey, Mike Lucas, good to see you, brother. I miss you there, brother. So Al Cobb and his family were antique dealers and whatnot. And he purchased this bed for his son. The bed supposedly was over 100 years old or something or another. And the story goes that his son always reported something going on with the bed, and that it would draw out notes and stuff, you know, like, so then they got to where they would leave crayons out for it or pencils and stuff and ask it questions. And then they would leave and come back and there would be a note written, like, what is your name? And they'd leave and they come back and scribbled on the paper was Danny. So that's how they got the Danny's Bed name. Now, a funny story is, me being into haunted houses and everything, I was in my early 20s, just met Moody, I think we were dating, I don't think we were married yet. We go to a lot of haunted houses and stuff, mainly to get ideas and stuff. So, there was this haunted house in, like, Port Wentworth, at a school, and one of the things they had on display was Danny's Bed, and I had heard a lot about it. There's also a book written about it by Al Cobb. It's a good read. You can check it out. Do I believe it? I don't know. So the bed was up on the stage. It cost like $2 to go up there and take pictures with it and everything. So we went up there, touched it, and it, of course, it said don't touch and everything. Well, don't put a sign up there saying don't touch because you know I'm going to touch it. So I touched it. Nothing happened. The book is very interesting, all the stuff that happened. One of the city aldermen ended up buying it. I think he still has it, but he's trying to sell it. His initials are TT. So you can figure that out. He's not an alderman anymore, thank God. But he owns it. He bought it, and he's been trying to sell it. I saw. I will say that there was a show that came out called Fact or Faked, which they would either prove or disprove ghost things. I think it was called Fact or Faked, one of those shows. And I think they had Al Cobb do, and all his family, they all swore by this Danny's Bed thing. But I think he failed the polygraph or something. Who knows? I wasn't in that house, so I don't know. But look it up if you want to. Yeah, Tiffany, you're right. TT has had nothing but bad luck ever since he's had that bed. I think you're right. Not only did he lose the election, but he lost a lot more. He lost his store at the mall and everything. So, yeah, poor old TT. Another story that I kind of want to bring up and investigate is, I don't know if any of y'all have ever heard the ghost of Maycrest, or Maycrest Road. If you know where Maycrest Hardware Store is, over by Lake Mare. So right across from there is this old graveyard, pretty much on the corner, like right around where you get to Lake Mare. You got to look kind of hard because when you're passing it, you get that red light. There's the churches on the right and everything. But before you go through that red light, look to the left. There's a graveyard right there. It's kind of spooky, man. Yeah, right off of Sally Mood. Moody was right. So it's right off of Sally Mood. It's right there on the corner. The story goes that there's this old, I guess it's an old like 50s type, Chevy that rides around. All the windows are dark. It follows you. And then it disappears. There's been a lot of stories about it. That's one of the things I want to check out and research. Marta, if you're watching, I know that you live over Maycrest area. And I think one time you had told me something about it. So, going to be bringing you the Maycrest, ghost car story, which brings me to another story. So there in Garden City, I guess it's Garden City. It's on the road. Where Spanky's is, in Pooler. So you pass the Spanky's. Spanky's would be on your right, like you're going towards Garden City. There was this, police chase. You can Google this. So there was this police chase, and they're flying down by the one park on the right. What is that park called, Moody? It's is it Scottsdale Park? Triplet. I think it's Tom Triplet Park. So the Garden City police officers are chasing and everything, and they went and was chasing him down the road. They took a right, like what is now right across of Parker's. There's a Parker's right there. So right across that street, that was like a dirt road, and they was hauling ass down there. It was Louisville Road, I think. And they were taking off down Louisville Road. Well, the police officer's dash cam was filming the whole time. So the car does a U-turn in the middle of the street, not on Louisville Road, but on Highway 80. So it does a U-turn. The police car does a U-turn with it right in the middle, as dark as night. Only thing that's lighting up is the headlights and the sirens and the lights from the police car. It follows this car, and it's going down the dirt road, and you see the dust kicking up and everything from the dirt road going down Louisville Road. And then all of a sudden it leads to this 10-foot, 12-foot chain link fence, and it disappears. And the police car has to stop in front of it, because if it keeps going, and the police car was right behind it, I'm talking no more than a second, 2 seconds behind it, and disappeared. And you see the police officers get out, and they run to the fence, and they're looking, and they're looking all through the chain link fence, and the car's gone. So there was nowhere to go where it went. Google it and check it out. I'll probably end up finding it and putting it on our page so you can watch it. It's really cool. Let's see here. I'm going to see who's got anything here to say real quick. I see Buddy Grayson says they cleaned it up a few years ago. We're fixing some of the brickwork and fencing. And the story goes, the community group working on it so freaked out they wouldn't go back and finish. Another group had to go and finish it. I guess you're talking about the cemetery on Maycrest. If you are talking about that cemetery, yeah, I no disrespect to anybody who has family members buried there or anything, but it's a pretty creepy cemetery when you ride by it. And it's out there in pretty much the open. When you're at the red light, I won't even look over. Yeah, they had a fatality accident right there. Now, for those of y'all that don't know, Lake Mare used to be the old Brown's farm. That I know that because my grandpa, if he was alive today, would have been 121 years old. Him and his brothers come from Telfair County, and they were prison guards, chain gang, for the Brown's farm. And the Brown's farm was a dairy farm where Lake Mary is. It wasn't the park that it is today. There was a prison camp, and my grandpa was a prison guard, and he's talk about it all the time. So there's no telling who is buried out there at Lake Mary and who's buried on that corner. Buddy Grayson says, yes, that's the cemetery. Yeah, check it out, man. I'm gonna look at it. It's kind of creepy. So, check that out. Somebody asked about the Lizard Man. Okay. So real quick, the Lizard Man, if you know where Forest Cove is in Georgetown, me and some buddies, we were about 14, 15 years old, maybe. This is probably 1985, 1987, something like that. Anyways, nothing to do in Georgetown again in the summer. Me and two of my buddies were going fishing. He found this spot. We're walking through the trails along the marsh, trying to get to this this dock that my buddy found that they were building. They had just started building houses back there in Forest Cove, and it wasn't even called Forest Cove. Nobody knew what they were building back then. So we would carry all our gear, you know, the bucket with the cast nets and fishing poles, rods, everything, you know. So we're heading back there, and long day of fishing. It gets dark pretty soon, and it gets real spooky in those woods. So we decided that we were going to go ahead and call it quits and walk. So we're walking along the trail, and right, we're coming around the corner of the marsh, and my buddy goes, "What is that?" And I said, "What is what?" And so I didn't see because I wasn't coming around. I was kind of behind him. When I looked around, he said, "That, what is that?" And that's when I saw with my own eyes, this is still weird. It wasn't a man, but it looked like an alligator, I'm going to be honest, standing up on its hind legs, walking across the trail that we were on. And it looked right at us, and it hissed. I mean, it made a real bad hiss. It had scales all over its body. It had a really long tail like an alligator. But when it looked at us, it had like yellowish, more like red eyes. But they, now that I think about it, they did look more red. You know, it was kind of spooky. We dropped all our stuff and hauled butt. I think my dad's watching. He can verify this. We went back like the next day because it was too dark and we were too scared to go back and to get our cast net and stuff. And we saw what looked like tracks. But I will tell you that whenever it saw us, the marsh was probably 5 feet in front of it. So it made this loud splash. I mean, it was like ploosh, kind of like, you know, like me going off a high dive, doing a cannonball, that kind of splash. It was a big splash. So it was terrifying, you know, especially when you're 15 years old, 14 or whatever. You know, to this day, I think about it, I can always see the rippling of the water, like the waves of it and everything, and the tail up on the water. Couple months later, I want to say, we're watching the news, and there was this black guy in Bishopville, South Carolina, who was reporting coming home from work. I think he was a teenager, but he was coming home from work, and he was attacked by what was supposedly a lizard man, and it scratched up the side of his car, and it tried to pretty much eat his car or rip it off and everything, and it's pretty scary stuff. And he kind of drew this little thing, and it kind of looked exactly like what my buddy kind of doodled, you know. And so when he drew it and was describing it and showed it, I told my dad, you know, I said, that's it, that's what I saw. So maybe because the Forest River is right there, you know, and I don't know if the Forest River leads into Carolina. Pretty scary stuff. Chris Bragg says, that's why the geese are so mean at Lake Mare. Could be. I don't know if I haven't heard any ghost stories about Lake Mare, but I'm sure there are some. You know, there's a lot of ghost stories in Savannah. I like the more recent, are the local stories, you know, downtown. Yeah. Downtown's full of them. You know, you got a Marshall House, you got, Moon River Brewer. You got all those places. You've heard those a million times. I like the stories that people don't really know about or have only kind of heard about. I want to thank Craig. Looks like he just sent me a message there telling me where those haunted spots are over in Carolina. Love to check that out. For those of y'all just now joining us, I will be showcasing the Scottish Rite building the next couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. So stay tuned. Did buy some new equipment. We got a really cool camera. I bought this really cool selfie stick. I can't figure it out to save my life. Either I'm too dumb or it's broken. So I'll try to play with that some more so we don't get all the shaky stuff. Any stories that you want to hear, let me know. Real quick, I want to give some shout-outs to all the haunted houses out there that are doing their thing. I'm pretty sure we'll all be open this year, and we'll be okay. Just keep washing those hands, and you know, let's save our season, let's save Halloween. But you know, you got us, the Ailey Terror Plantation Haunted House. Want to give a shout out to everybody that worked so hard there. Come out and support us this year. We're going to need all the help we can get. Also, want to say the Moose Lodge is right down. They got the Haunted Forest. They put on a good show. It's a good one. And then you got Wicked South Productions, who they were in Savannah, but last year I think they went out to Rinkin, and they got a corn maze, like a haunted corn maze. So check that out in Rinkin. Always support local haunts. You know, if you love haunted houses and you love anything horror, check that out. I also got to give props and let everybody know that Acme Costumes on Highway 80, their last day is July 3rd. So everything is pretty much 75% off. Look at their webpage or their Facebook page. I told them I'd swing by tomorrow and do a little live video there, showing some of the stuff that they have left. They got handmade costumes there, man. You can't beat it. I think you can fill up a rack for like $200. Can't beat it. Me and the haunt crew went there last Saturday. We got about 80 or 90 costumes, handmade costumes, for $200. We're going to have a great year. We've got some awesome costumes. You know, we're looking forward to getting started once this is, things have kind of opened up. So no work days, no real work days on the haunt, for at least 2-3 more weeks or more. Once our, you know, we call him the Grand Master, is, of Freemasons. And then Illustrious Sir Buddy says, yeah, you know, we can go ahead and start hitting it hard. We are going to need some help this year with getting items that we need. You know, the temple hasn't had a chance to do a lot of fundraising. So everybody's short. You know, we're short on money. So, you know, we want everybody to come out and give a hand. And once we open up, a lot of stuff needs to be done. Weed eating around the building and stuff, fixing up the back of the maze, all kind of stuff. So we'll get into all that. If you want to help this year, we'd love to have you. I want to thank you guys for joining in. The Ouija board, wish I had a more scary story for it. I don't play with them things. Again, I do like joking around with them. There's some for sale right now. It's crazy, you know what I mean? It's crazy times, man. If you want to play with the Ouija board and upload your video, hey, I'll watch it. You know, that'd be great. Don't forget the Bloody Mary challenge. You got till midnight, so when this is over, stop uploading some of the videos. I think there's one or two maybe that's been uploaded right now, and you can win a $10 gift certificate. Also, if we hit 369 likes on our page, we will be giving away a $20 gift certificate. So please, all you got to do is when you go to our page, click invite and invite your friends. There's also a little button on there that says invite all. So you can do that as well. Hope everybody's staying safe. Before I go, let's talk about some haunted movies out there, some spooky movies. So if you like spooky movies, hit us up, let us know some of the spooky ones that you love and some of the ones that you've seen recently that you thought were pretty good. Me, my all-time favorite again is the original Halloween. That's what got me into it. So check it out. Cousin Emmett, I want to give him a shout out. Says the Keyhole House is when Albert Godey's funeral home. Oh yeah, he's talking about some family that was going on there. Oh yeah, when they used to do some fussing and fighting there, boy. I come from a big Irish family, so weddings and funerals, yeah, they like to get drunk and raise a little hell. But let's see, he's talking about here, the Keogh House, used to be Albert Godey's funeral home, Mary Schmidt's funeral, he was there, sitting in the hall outside the room. You could hear footsteps walking down the hall, and then on the steps coming down, and there was nobody there. I believe it. I believe funeral homes is scary. But, you know, back in those days, when you died, they used to stick you up in front of the window like you were a Christmas tree. for everybody to see or come visit, you know, right there in your house. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going to a funeral nowadays, or a viewing, and you go to somebody's house and there they are sitting in the front of the window, like, again, like a Christmas tree. That's what I think of it as. You know, I can remember people doing that. They called it sitting up with the dead. And the reason why they did this and they called it sitting up with the dead was because a lot of times people weren't dead. So they would leave them out. That's why they leave them out a lot of times now for at least 2 to 3 days, because sometimes they wake up. And that was before kind of embalming and everything. So that's why the coroner has to come and actually physically pronounce you dead and everything. It's one of the reasons, is because you'd wake up. And the other thing they used to do, and this is no BS, you know, they would have this little bell, no BS, that would up there, and they would have a string run down into the grave inside the casket with the rope. And then whenever you the grave, that's where the undertakers and stuff came in, because they were the overseers of everything. And they would hear that bell ringing, and they'd leave that bell out for 2 to 3 nights. And if they heard it ringing, that meant that person in that ground is not dead. True story. But let's see what else here. We've got a few other comments here. It says, Timothy Rawl says, horror film made at the Kehoe in 1981. It's called Madhouse. Well, I have to check that out. I didn't know there was a horror movie filmed in Savannah or about the Kehoe house. I will definitely check that out, brother. Sean Cochran says, the original Channeling still scares the crap out of me. Love the original Halloween as well. The Challenging, I guess it's called. Buddy Grayson says, the Amish still do that, sitting up with the dead. Yeah. Cindy Hawking, what's happening? I know you, my scaredy cat. You one of my number one scaredy cats like me. Buddy Grayson, Lester Sarah, Graveyard Shift was one that worked at night listening for the bell. Yes, sir. That's why they call it the Graveyard Shift, because all they did was walk around and listen out for the bells. So, real quick, some horror movies. A lot of them I know you've seen. The Exorcist, yeah, scares me. There's not a whole lot that scares me in this world. A couple of things that scares me is demons, stuff like that, the devil. You know, I don't mess with that devil stuff. I don't like demons. Demons do scare me. There's a great documentary, a reality show by Zach Bagans, who's the host of Ghost Adventures. If you haven't seen it, it's called Demon House. So Demon House is a true story. It's a documentary that he did. It's a house in Indiana that was possessed, and he bought it. And he decided that he was going to do, you know, this documentary and everything. Well, it messed him up pretty bad. So I don't want to give away everything on there, but you got the chief of police, you got all these police officers, you've got caseworkers that deal with children that can say and verify about that house. Watch it. It's called Demon House. It's really, 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 really good, and it's very, very scary. Let's see if some other people here. Let's say, what's up, Richard? Hope you're recouping well, Richard. Richard just had knee surgery. The Changeling, George Scott, lead actor. I'll have to check that out. Original Rosemary's Baby still scares me. Yeah, that ending there, man. It was freaky. The Possession, about the Dybbuk box. Yes. So, buddy, The Possession, of course, about the Dybbuk box, that is based off a true story. And one of my favorite lead actors is in there, who also plays Negan on The Walking Dead. So if you haven't seen The Possession, it's a great movie. It's about the Dybbuk box. If you want to look up one of the actual true stories about the Dybbuk box, it's called Paranormal Witness. So look it up, Paranormal Witness, and it's about a Dybbuk box. About the guy that bought it at a yard sale, just like the Possession guy, bought it as a gift for his mom, freaked her out. So he decided to sell it. That guy was like in college. So him and his buddies would sit it on the table and mess with it and have parties and people screw with it and all kind of weird stuff happened. And he sold it off on eBay and to a professor who was kind of, I don't know if he's in the occult or something, but he bought it and a lot of bad stuff happened to him, Jack. So he hid it. And then I think Zach Bagans has ended up with it. It's in his museum in Las Vegas. So that's some scary stuff there. If you want to watch something similar to The Exorcist, there's this movie called The Entity. Yeah, pretty scary. It's called The Entity. Very, very scary. Moody says she's never watched The Exorcist all the way, though only a couple parts. Yeah, it's pretty scary, especially when she crawls up backwards up the stairs. Yeah, that's... We had a young lady at the haunt named Reagan who could do a lot of that stuff, bend backwards and walk and do all freaky stuff. She was awesome last year. I'm pretty sure, hopefully she comes back this year. So let's talk about a few more scary movies. One movie, I'm going to give you guys my recollection of some good horror movies. There's one called Frankenstein's Army. And it's not about your typical Frankenstein, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. This is about, it's towards the end of World War II. And there's this kind of mad German scientist creating these, like, it's weird, man. It's scary, though. It's scary as hell. I'm not going to lie. And the Russian army is the ones, there's a little small platoon that has to go in, and they're going from, you know, building to building, clearing them out and whatnot. So it's pretty scary. Check it out. It's called Frankenstein's Army. If you want a few other ones that I've seen, here's some favorites, man, that'll really trip you out. Wrong Turn, the original Wrong Turn. It's about these incest family people in Virginia. Yeah, imagine that, Virginia. This guy takes these people, they take a wrong turn, put it that way. Does not disappoint. Watch Wrong Turn. It's really good. Some other horror movies, if you're looking for good ones that you haven't seen, here's a few that you haven't heard. Oh, Buddy Grayson says Shocker. Yes, Shocker was a great movie. I remember going to movie theater when I was a teenager seeing that, about the guy that was a serial killer and got electrocuted and went through the phone lines and everything or whatever. It's a great movie. It's good. Check that one out. Shocker's a good one. Some of the ones, too, I don't know if you've ever seen Vacancy. Vacancy is great. Joyride. It's about a couple that they kind of have some car trouble, and they stay at this hotel, and the hotel is being ran by some not-so-nice people, put it that way. It's really good. Moody just mentioned Joyride. Joyride is a very, very good one. It's got Paul Walker in it. Who?
Rest in peace, Paul Walker.
Yeah, Paul Walker is in it. He's awesome. Him and his brother are going cross country to pick up a girlfriend of his or something, but they decided to get a CB radio and start having some fun with some truckers. So it's really, really good. Buddy says Vacancy and Joyride were both good and could be true. Yes. Yeah, because when I was a kid, you know, my dad had a CB radio. His handle was the Cockroach. And I remember one time, there's no bullshit, there's no bull crap, I'm sorry, that we were kids and we had an old Chevy van. This was in the 70s. And we went down to Skidaway. And we went down to Skidaway Island and we were going to do some camping down there. So we had a bed in the back of old Chevy van. Remember those back in the 70s? So it was me, my mom, and my sister, and my dad. And I remember we were down kind of like where the river is in the back of Skidaway. And we thought we saw a body in the water. And it looked like a body. It was a body. The feet were dangling up and everything. And It was scary. And I remember my dad freaking out, my mom freaking out, and they really thought it was a dead body. And so did we. We were scared to death when we were little kids. It's real late at night, too. It's probably like 9, 10 o'clock at night. You got to remember, back then, not everybody had phones. You didn't call anybody after 8 o'clock unless it was somebody was dying. There was no way to really get the police and everything. So my dad gets on the CB radio, and he's trying to get help. And so, you know, I can always remember, you know, break a 1-9, you know, just a cockroach. I can remember this lady, this black lady coming back going, "What he said?" And the guy, some other guy that's listening, some trucker was like, "He said he had a cockroach." And somebody said, "Get the raid." So I remember my dad getting pissed and everything because he was scared and we were all scared. And so long story short, the police finally came out. The dive unit came out and everything. And they get in there and they pull out what we thought was bodies, was some mannequins. So apparently, you know, back then you could shoot guns wherever. They had set up some mannequins and a shot at them and just let them sit in the water. And it looked like real bodies. So, yeah, that was a pretty crazy story. The Hitcher is a good one. I don't know if you're talking about the original one or the newest one, but the original one with C. Thomas Howell, yeah, that's a good one, The Hitcher. Final Destination, great movie. I love Final Destinations. You know, even to this day, I don't think anybody, Cindy, you tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think anybody to this day that gets behind a log truck and goes, "Not today, Final Destination," because if you've seen Final Destination, you don't get behind no log truck. Yeah, spooky. Spooky, spooky stuff. So some of the other favorites I got, of course, is The Thing, the original Thing, you know, with John Carpenter. Anything with John Carpenter is great. Can't go wrong with John Carpenter. Yes, Steamboat Willie. Buddy Graves, I don't know what you're talking about. Steamboat Willie. Mickey Mouse, I guess. The original Mickey Mouse. I will tell you that some of the horror movies that I have seen, the original Children of the Corn, saw that. A lot of these movies I went and saw as a teenager by myself. None of my friends were really into horror movies. Nobody's was into horror movies like I was when I was a kid. A lot of these movies, you know, back then you didn't have to be 18. You just told them, "Hey, you know, I want to go see this movie," and paid your $3, $2, whatever it was, and you got in. So Children of the Corn, if you haven't seen the original Children of the Corn with Malachi, He Who Walks Behind the Rose. Good thing is that, the guy who played Malachi lives in Savannah now. So, I got a buddy that's, talking about maybe bringing him out to the haunt to, you know, just do some meet and greets. Kenny Gentry says, a good documentaries on Netflix to start with. I really don't know. You know, we watch a lot of documentaries, man. I mean, Tiffany loves the serial killer stuff. When we were in Helen, Georgia, staying in the cabin up there in the woods, you know, of all the things, least things I want to watch is something about some damn serial killers. And Tiffany is watching them left and right, man. Scared the crap out of me.
And when you was having surgery in Tijuana.
Yeah, when I was having surgery in Tijuana for weight loss surgery, Tiffany was watching serial killers. And there I am laying up in the bed. Buddy Grace says, still don't like the name Malachi to this day because of that movie. Yeah, that guy, he lives in Savannah now. Yeah, he's a really cool guy. I'll see if we can get him to come out just for an hour or two at the haunt. Meet some people and take some pictures. That'd be awesome. Yeah, Malachi. Every time I think of Malachi, He Who Walks Behind the Rose. Remember that? Didn't like it. So some other ones, of course, Friday the 13th. After the first one or the second one, then they got to be, like, they were trying to be funny, kind of like Freddy Krueger. That was the other one. Yeah, Kane Hodder came, you know, was to me, was one of the best Jasons that there was in Friday the 13th. Met him many, many times. He's an awesome guy, Kane Hodder. Jeepers Creepers, of course, one of my all-time favorite, Jonathan Breck, who played the Creeper. Awesome guy. A lot of the people that me and Moody have met or I've met has been really, really cool. some other scary horror movies, you know, if you want to do some off the top of Jaws. You can't go wrong with Jaws, you know. So if you notice, a lot of the great ones, they've never done remakes. They never did a remake of The Exorcist. They never did a remake of Jaws, and movies, you know, like that. I'm not into blood and guts, so I'm sorry. I'm just moving up, trying to get comfortable in the chair here. You know, so I'm not into it. Matt Fisher asks, do I like the American Horror shows? Yes, I do. With the American Horror Story shows, my favorite one was The Freak Show, or the Coven. The one with The Freak Show, they were at a convention. We were at a haunted Halloween Extreme convention getting ideas for the haunt and stuff, and they were all there. A bunch of them were there. And we got to meet a lot of them. The half lady was there. Moody and her got pictures. And then was, you know about me and my kidney stones. It was so sad. Like 3 months later, the half lady died due to a kidney stone. I didn't know you could die from them. I've had them since I was 17. And it was really sad. So, but American Horror Stories, love them. Love them. Love them. Buddy Grayson says, The Hills Have Eyes. Yes. I like the remake of The Hills Had Eyes. The newer one, not so much. I mean the newer one I love. The older one, not so much. Even though we had the one of the main characters at our horror convention that we tried to do at A. Lee one time. He's a brother too. Trying to think of his name offhand, Michael something. Michael Berryman. He's a great guy. He's a Freemason. Awesome dude. We also had Butch Patrick, who's a real close friend of mine. He came and checked us out and everything. His dad was a potentate of a temple. So just a little bit of stuff there for you. Hey, Melanie, I'm glad you're watching. Matt says he just finished up with the summer camp. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Of course, y'all know I love The Walking Dead. I love zombies. So question for you. If you like zombie movies, what's your favorite zombie movie, and what do you prefer? Do you prefer fast-running zombies, or do you like the slowest crap zombies? Me, I prefer the slowest crap zombies. That's what I grew up with watching. That's what I love. That's why I think I like The Walking Dead so much. George Romero, great guy. Met him a few times. When he came out with the whole zombie era, it was great. Robbie Moore is watching. If y'all don't know, Robbie Moore loves clowns. Buddy Grayson told me that for a fact. He says that Robbie Moore will dance at your next wedding if you show up in a clown suit for him. No, I'm kidding. He's scared of clowns. So sorry about that, Brother Robbie. Yeah, he said he likes the slow zombies. Me too. So some good zombie movies. I like dark comedies, horror movies too. So Return of the Living Dead, I don't know if you've ever seen Return of the Living Dead. It is a great— Robbie Moore says he dislikes me now because I gave away his secret. Now Return of the Living Dead, if you haven't seen it, I think it was 1986, 1987. It's a great zombie movie. Those move kind of fast, but they're the ones that first started kind of talking and brought up the whole eating the brains thing. Oh, I want brains. That's where that came from. George Romero never had them eating brains only. He had them eating whatever they could bite. So it was great. So zombie movies are great. You know, that's one of my things. I think we try to, while the whole zombie thing was popular with The Walking Dead, we try to do that at The Haunt. You know, you got to change it up. You have to change it up all the time. I really want to know if you have had any horror experiences. Inbox us, and let's talk about it. You know, we're looking at doing this Zoom thing. We're looking at doing something where multiple people can be on there. We can talk about it. So it'd be great. Matt says, what about Shaun of the Dead? Yeah, I like Shaun of the Dead. Again, that's a dark horror comedy. This is really not a horror movie, but a scary movie too. Is my favorite. It's got some of the Wayans brothers in there. Scary Movie 2. It just, every time I see that movie, I laugh so hard. Robbie Moore, you're right. Send more paramedics. Yeah. Send more cops. Yeah. They was eating everybody. I see Sean Carpenter said they decided to add the cheesy one Saturday the 14th. Yeah, spoof. Some of the good old 80 movies. So I don't know if y'all know this or not, but where Sam's and Walmart is in Sandfly, that used to be the old drive-in. They had two or three big screens. And that's where, I think if you look really hard, kind of alongside the woods area, you can still see the remnants of one of the big screens. Yeah, buddy, you're right, man. Saturday the 14th is a cult classic. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen Saturday the 14th, it's great. So there used to be a couple drive-ins in Savannah. I remember the one mainly at Sandfly where Sam's and Walmart is. And what we used to do as kids, because, you know, back then, you know, we didn't have money growing up, a lot of us, and especially my aunts and them, and we'd just stay with them sometimes, and you stay with your cousins. You know, my mom had 11, 12, 13 brothers and sisters. You know, she come from a big family. So we always got in a car, and a lot of us would get in the trunk, so they didn't have to pay the extra dollar or whatever it was. But anyway, so we would go, and we was always watching either Jaws, which we loved, Grease, or Orca. Orca's a good movie, too. A lot of y'all don't know, that's the name of the boat that the shark eats in Jaws. It's called Orca. The Sandfly drive-in, Robbie, yeah, you're right, man. It was awesome. But here's what we used to do. So me and my cousins, we loved horror movies and stuff, or, you know, or whatnot. So we would say, hey, we're going to go play at the park. And the park was where the concession stands was, in the middle. Well, what our parents didn't know was that if you sat on the swings and turned around, you could watch the other movie that would sometimes show boobies or, you know, people getting eaten or hacked up. So we would go, we didn't care what we were going to see after that. We'd always sit on the swings or something and watch the other movie. And a lot of times it was a good horror movie like My Bloody Valentine, April Fool's Day, you know, all those good old cheesy horror flicks, you know, which was a good thing. So I'm going to scroll back a little bit and see what some people are saying. So some people are saying, hey, what about the early Saw? Yes, the early Saw movie was great. I was not expecting that guy to be on the floor. The second one was okay, and after that it just... they just kind of ruined it. It's got too funny. Let's see here. Saw was great. Saw didn't get to be as bloody and everything to me until like the end of the second. The third one, kind of like Hostel. I love the actual storyline, but some of that's just nasty. And if y'all haven't seen Hostel, oh man, yeah, it's worse than Saw as far as blood and guts. I see Melanie Phillips says, it's behind there. Yeah, you see it. You still see the movie screen up there, I think, or something. Moody's never been to a drive-through. So here's what we need to do. A bunch of us, while we're in quarantine or what do you want, social distancing, I know Jessup still has a drive-through. I think there's one over in Beaufort, maybe. Whichever one, a bunch of us just need to, one weekend, pile up and go see a drive-in movie. Moody has never been to one. She's lucky because you don't have to worry about sweating in your car and propping that big metal box in your window and letting all the bugs in or whatever are burning up. Oh, God, that was terrible. But it was awesome. You know, I wouldn't change it for the world. Nowadays, I think you just tune in to the Wi-Fi channel and you listen to it through your vehicle while you watch the movie. So, yeah, anybody want to do a drive-in movie theater trip one day, let me know. Hit me up. Let's do it. Moody has never been. Let's see. Sean Carpenter says, you have to be drunk now to even get through it. I'm not sure what you're talking about, but yes, I agree. Robbie Moore went to Grafton a lot. See, Matt Fisher says, I'm not sure if you know Dominic from Landrum Lodge, but he's a huge horror movie buff. I think that is 90% of what he watches. No, I don't know Dominic, but have him hit us up. Send him an invite. Love to hear his take on some of the horror movies and things. Cookie Moore! What's going on, Cookie? That fence that Robbie built, he did a good job on it. He said you were supervising the whole time. That's what I heard. But Piranha, the original Piranha, yes. I can't tell you how many times I would go fishing. I was scared to put my feet in the water because of piranha. Saw Jason and the Argonauts. Yeah, I remember that movie, Alice in Wonderland. Moody wants to mention Seven. I guess it could be a horror movie. It's pretty spooky. Seven Deadly Sins and everything. Yeah. The ending, not going to give it away, but what's in the box? Yeah. What's in the box? Got to watch Seven. That's a great movie. Jessup, as soon as you enter the fifth town, it's to the left. Yep. We can go check that drive-in out one day, y'all. Jessup is back up and running, Sean says. Well, we need to make a trip, everybody. Let's do that. See, there's a big one on two screens. It's called the Highway 21 Drive-In. Is that at Jessup? No, it's in Buford. Yeah, I thought there was one in Buford.
I think there's one going towards
Hinesville.
In Hinesville?
Yeah, that's Jessup, eh?
Oh.
Let's see. Robbie, Cookie Rob.
Like, she owned me.
Am I still on? So, y'all know what I'm talking about. Cookie did a really good job on her fence. She put up, yeah, that's a working girl, man. She put that fence up and it looks good. Let's see here. I'm going to read a few more here. Let's see. Patrick Sweet, what's happening, brother? Says he thinks The Shining and The Exorcist were quite scary. I can't agree more. The Shining, to this day, when I'm walking in a hotel, I cannot walk down the hallway by myself, even if it's just to get ice. Because, you know, I always think I'm going to see those twins when I turn the corner there, you know, want me to come play with them. Or there'll be some old hag standing at the one of the room doors inviting me in, you know. The Shining was a creepy, creepy, creepy movie. You know, it's not like the book. You read the book, there's a lot in The Shining that... you know, read the book. There's some parts that I wish they would have put in there, but Jack Nicholson did awesome. Love it. Love it. Love it. But Robbie Moore, Hellraiser. Hellraiser, again, I love, but again, it's just too, I don't want to say blood and guts, but it's one of those movies that you watch, you know. Some people love that stuff. I'm not into gore, but I think it's an awesome series, you know. Carrie, I love the Carrie. Yeah, the original Carrie was awesome. John Travolta was in that one, and I love John Travolta. Let's see. Should watch Dr. Sleep. Yep, it's the follow-up to The Shining. I've been wanting to see it. I was hoping it would come out so we could rent it. I know it's the follow-up. I think Danny grows up or something and is a psychiatrist or something. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, man. It, the original It, when it came on TV, you know, back then we had to VCR it, you know, tape it, as everybody said. And then we would watch it. The ending, of course, everybody knows, sucked. And then when they came out with the remake, they were going by the book. The first chapter, it was awesome. They were going strictly by the book. It was awesome. The second one, yeah. But then the ending again, sucked. Too much CGI. I'm not a fan of CGI. The Omen, the original Omen, yeah. Yeah, I love the Omen series. Again, anything dealing with the demon or the devils and stuff, yeah, I don't watch that stuff. Rosemary's Baby, yeah, somebody mentioned that earlier. That's a really good one, man. Carrie's a favorite. I think you like it because of the bully. She's bullied and she gets there. So I want to thank y'all for spending some time with us tonight. I think there's 14 of us that are still here. You know, there's nothing like, sitting around, telling some ghost stories and things. I like to get together and maybe have a little campfire going and, have a scary night, you know, spooky tales or something like that. Nothing like sitting around a campfire telling ghost stories like when you were kids. It's great memories and it's something to always have. Going to be doing a lot with the podcast. I know it says podcast, but, you know, we're going to do some actual podcast stuff. See, Robbie says, can't remember the name, but they trapped the 13 demons in his house. Was that 13 ghosts?
Yes.
I think it was 13 ghosts. Yes. Had they had expanded more on what the actual 13 ghosts were, oh, man, because a lot of those characters were so creepy. I got to agree, man. 13 ghosts was awesome. And I love Matthew Lillard, man. I think he's awesome. Poltergeist, yes. Mm-hmm. Scared the crap out of him. So, I want to say it's either on AMC or it's on Shudder, Patrick, if you haven't seen it, or if any of you guys are interested. It's called The Curse of Horror Movies, I think is what it's called. And, of course, everybody knows the curse of Poltergeist and all the things, the bad things that happened. You know, in the swimming pool, those were actual dead bodies that they didn't know that was in that swimming pool. Now, to me, the first, all three of the Poltergeists were scary as hell to me. I believe the second one was, and I could be wrong between the second and third one, but I think the second one was where she goes, no, it's still this family, and the preacher guy, that old man, comes up there, remember, knocking on the door, you're all going to die, remember him?
Yes.
Oh, man, when he comes, it's freaky, scary. So what a lot of people don't know is the guy that played that character was actually dying. He was dying, I think, of cancer. So that's why his face was all sunk in, and he looked as scary as he did. But, yeah, he wanted to do it, and he did a great job. That scares the crap out of me. The third one scared the crap out of me, too, because I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the mirror room kind of didn't work out the way we wanted it to in The Haunt. And the reason why I wanted to do that mirror room is if you watch Poltergeist 3, and when you see them looking at the mirror, and then they turn away, the person in the mirror is still facing this way while the actual person is looking that way. And the person that's behind there pulls the person through the, that's what it was supposed to be, but it didn't quite work out. It's some scary stuff, those Poltergeist movies. Let's see, I'm gonna scroll up here a little bit. Carolyn, sounds great. I'm definitely in and not sure Bobby will be in too. Okay, sounds great. Buddy Grayson, yeah. Carrie Ann, was it Carrie Ann? Was that her name? What was the little girl's name?
Carol Ann.
Carol Ann. Yeah, Carol Ann. Carol Ann. Yeah, go to the light. Let's see, the stories of what happened on the set. Yeah, so the stories of what happened, again, if you watch it, it's called Curse of the Horror Movies or something like that. There's Poltergeist. There's several other horror movies where all this bad stuff happened to people that played in there. As you know, the Poltergeist movies, a lot of those people are dead, or they died weird ways. The older sister, I think, you know, got shot and killed and everything by her boyfriend or something. A stalker or something. It was freaky. Little Carol Ann died from some disease that could have been prevented, and a bunch of weird stuff. The scariest thing to me in Poltergeist is that clown. Robbie, I know you love clowns, but, to me, that clown, my sister used to own this baby doll, and it was like 4 foot tall. It's one of those old dolls, the big dolls. And, I think when either me or her had like cut off all the doll's hair one time, but that thing used to sit and used to creep me out. It had those eyeballs that would close when you laid it down, the eyes would close and you raise up, it would open. Well, it got to where, to me, that doll was moving around, and don't matter where it was always scary as hell. So if you got time tonight, I don't know where my comments went. Check out Netflix, check out Shudder. They've got some really good horror movies right now. I think on demand up until May the 17th, there's a lot of free movies on demand. Cinemax, Showtime, HBO, all the movies are free. So they have a horror section on there. You can check it out. It's awesome. Patrick says, Wes Craven was a hell of a director. His last house on the left was freaky.
Yes.
Wes Craven, you know, inventor of you know, Freddy. Love it. Met Robert Englund. Got my picture taken with him. Awesome, awesome guy, man. Awesome, awesome guy. You know, as far as horror movies, horror shows, again, my favorite being Ghost Adventures. I used to love the whole Ghost Hunter thing, but then they got to where they were debunking too much stuff. I don't mind debunking and things like that, but when people are just so negative and nasty and trying to disprove things, it just gets old, you know? I mean, let's have some fun. Let's watch some stuff. I will tell you, I used to love the show called The Haunted Collector. That was a guy who I think worked with Ed and Lorraine that were the famous ghost hunters, and he learned from them. And what he would do is kind of like what she did was the house would be haunted, and he would take whatever object that they found to be haunted and put it in his museum. Yeah, the Warrens, you know, kind of did what she did, put it in his little museum at home. To me, if you ask me, he just wanted people's crap. So it is what it is. But between that, there is some haunted dolls. Some people brought up the dolls. There was a show just on. It's called Paranormal Caught on Tape or something like that. Or it's on the Travel Channel right now. They got a marathon going. There's one about there on Savannah just a few minutes ago, about 1790. And apparently the guy set his video camera up and he saw something in the mirror and some other little things were happening. So they packed up and left. But the innkeeper made them sign a waiver saying if you left early, you don't get your money back because, you know, they were staying in, you know, supposedly the haunted rooms and stuff or whatever. Anyway, so he said after about the second night, he left after the what they saw in the mirror, and it'll show you. Well, then he said he got home back to Florida, and they were watching the film and just playing it back, and there's this doll that was sitting in the chair, and you can watch this for yourself. It's no BS. And the head on the doll moves. So that stuff always creeps me out too, but the doll's head is moving. You know, it moves over and it looks. And he said, had he had seen that, he had checked out a long time ago. Annabelle, yes, you're right, Sean Carver. Love Annabelle, love House on a Haunted Hill. The Annabelle movie, of course, you know the Annabelle, that the doll that they have in there is not the original Annabelle. The funny thing about the original Annabelle is actually a Raggedy Ann doll. A lot of people don't know that. And that's in the Warrens Museum. It's a Raggedy Ann doll. It's not the doll, the creepy-looking doll that's in the movie. I do know that Zach Bagans had it flown out to his museum out in Vegas, the guy that brought it and everything, and Zach was asked not to touch it, and he touched it and, you know, watched the episode. It's pretty good. Some other haunted dolls out there a lot of people probably don't know about. So down in Key West, if we're ever down in Key West for a trip, a shrine trip or something, the Robert doll. Google it if you don't know about it. Basically, it's just this doll that is dressed up like a sailor. And there's all kind of notes and signs and warnings all around it saying, don't touch the doll. You know, don't do this, don't do that. Don't make fun of the doll, you know, while you're there. You know, don't do this, don't do that. And people do it. Well, they go home and all kind of creepy stuff happens to them, real bad stuff. And they end up writing letters back saying, hey, I'm sorry. Please accept my apology, blah, 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 blah. And they have these letters all over the walls. So Google it. It's called the Robert doll, and it's down in Key West, Florida. Spooky stuff. One of my favorite shows right now is called Fear the Woods. Also a Travel Channel one. They got some good stuff. Werewolves, you know, everybody's got their favorite horror monster. Me, I'm a lichen. Vampires and that kind of stuff, yeah, I believe. Do I believe in vampires? Yeah, I believe in vampires. You know, again, that's me. But if I had to choose, werewolves. I love werewolves. I love lichens. You know, American Werewolf in London. Love that movie. Silver Bullet. If you haven't seen Silver Bullet, it's a great werewolf movie. There's another werewolf movie I love called The Dog Soldiers. Check that out. Dog Soldiers is a werewolf movie. Cursed is another good werewolf movie. There's so many. The Howling is a really, really good one. Buddy Grayson says, hey, Patrick Sweet, he will protect you because he says you're a scaredy cat. So those are some of the good ones there to watch. If you really want to watch a good vampire movie, the old classic Nosferatu, it's a silent movie. It's made, you know, Germany. It's Germans, I believe. It's a great, great movie. It's called Nosferatu. It's black and white. It's very scary. Now, to me, one of the most scariest scenes to this day to me, and I don't care, and what brought this up was we were in Acme Costumes looking at costumes to get. They have about 10 flying monkey costumes from The Wizard of Oz. They're very similar to what they look like. I wanted to buy them all. I wanted to buy them and just have a bunch of kids running around, you know, one room like the flying monkeys. I hate the flying monkeys. They scare the crap out of me. To this day, they scare me. Don't like the flying monkeys. So one of the most scariest scenes to me, of course, is there. You know what? It's getting late. I just happened to look. I didn't expect to talk this long. I was going to talk about 10 or 15 minutes about stuff coming up. But, you know, if you've enjoyed it, give me a thumbs up. Please do the challenge or have somebody in your family, but you have to do it alone. It's not fun if you don't go to the bathroom and do the haunted challenge by yourself or have your significant other or your kid do it or whatever. Go to the bathroom, cut the light off, or leave the light on. I'll let you leave the light on. Record it and upload it. You got a good chance to win $10. Plus, it'll give us all something to watch and see who actually had the cojones to do it. Matt Fisher says, if you like Dracula, reading up on Val Dempoller, yes, very, very interesting. True story, really, is what it's kind of on. I want to say thank everybody again for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed stories and whatnot. It will get better. I'm saving the really good story for tomorrow night. We're open to suggestions. Let us know what you'd like to talk about, what scares you, some haunted places around your area and your city. We'll come and check it out. We'll interview you if you have a story, and we'll put you on live. Thanks for watching, everybody. Wash your hands, stay safe, and let's thank everybody for coming out again and watching, and let's save Halloween. Thank you, everybody. Good night.